If someone else tells your kids off in front of you.
Oh my God, no.
During the consummation of our marriage, there was a little bit of a drunken slip, shall we say. I had a black eye. I don't think I would tell somebody else's children off.
I literally, no, that sends another level of anger through me. If I raise my voice after I've told them 6 to 8 times to do it and they haven't done it, I do not feel an ounce of guilt there. Now I need a holiday from the holiday.
Couldn't agree more.
Welcome to the Fun Dad, Dean and Wife Unfiltered Podcast. I am Dean, I'm here with my wife Sarah, and we are here to give a true representation of parenting.
We like to give an honest view of what it is like to parent two young children whilst juggling work in life and trying to have a life ourselves.
So recently, the other day was our wedding anniversary, wasn't it?
It was our wedding anniversary, Dean. What was the date? Can you remember?
8th of April.
Oh, well done. Brownie point for you.
7 years. I think it was copper. Was it copper?
See, I thought it was cotton. We should have checked this out before the podcast, Dean. Now I'm like panicking. I don't know.
Whatever it was, we didn't actually do presents or cards, did we?
I know. That was a real bit pathetic this year, though. So basically, our anniversary fell. We've been doing a 2-week caravan holiday and it fell towards like the end of the holiday. And I suddenly looked at him a few days before and I thought, I haven't got him a card.
No, that was me. It was on the 5th of April and I looked at you and went, oh, and you knew what I meant by that gasp. And I was like, and she was like, and I was like, have you got me anything? Thinking, please don't have, because it made me feel better. And you hadn't.
I hadn't.
No.
We're getting really bad at this. Like, do people celebrate all anniversaries, big anniversaries? Are we missing a trick?
No, not at all. I think the first couple maybe, but after, I think you'd have to do something for them, like go out for a meal and celebrate them. But in terms of cards and presents, is it necessary at our point of
I
our
think
marriage?
The thing is, when I knew that you hadn't bothered and I'd forgotten, I thought, well, I'm not going to bother then. Because I think you need one person in the relationship to be bothered about these kind of things. Because I remember one year, a few years ago, we were on holiday, we were in Lanzarote at the time of our wedding anniversary. And I remember I'd packed the card, I'd gone out shopping beforehand, chosen the card, one with a really nice verse, you know, because you're such an amazing husband.
Yeah.
And then I packed it and I took it on holiday and I made sure I waited for our anniversary and I wrote it. And I'd really put a lot of thought and effort into this anniversary card, right? And then do you remember in Lanzarote what you got me?
Yeah, I was absolutely panicking, so panicking. I thought, I've got to get a card. The thing is, of our anniversary, it always falls on, like, half to Easter holidays, usually, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, like, we're away or doing something, so it's... That's my excuse anyway. So, I was panicking in Lanzarote, and there was, like, these shitty gift shops. Nowhere to go, no cards, no anniversary cards. So I found a birthday card and then crossed it out and just wrote anniversary at the top. And
I felt so loved.
It was funny though, wasn't it?
It was funny. It was very you.
Yeah. And luckily you're not the sort of, well, outwardly you don't give off the impression
that much. I'm not gonna split hairs about an anniversary card that says happy birthday. Because I just know that's you. You're just last minute. Like, you're the going shopping on the 24th of December for Christmas kind of guy. That's just who I've married.
I think most men are like that.
Oh.
I do. I think in general, rather than stereo, in general, I think women are much more prepared for that kind of stuff, like presents.
So we take the mental load of birthdays, anniversaries, all things like that.
We've still got the same load. I think you just do it before.
We don't have the same load. No. Oh, God. No, but it was really nice. It was actually nice to be back in Wales, the same place when we got married, like for our anniversary as well, wasn't it?
Mm.
But it has got me thinking about... It got me thinking, like, about our wedding and you know, like, we chat to everyone because we were in the same place where we got married as well. So basically... We live in Surrey, but our wedding, we decided to get married in Wales, didn't we? Near where our caravan is, like very kind of rural and remote. And
we didn't just pick Wales for no reason. Your family are from there.
Yeah, yeah. And all my family are Welsh as well. So it was just a really nice link. And I think we've been coming down and enjoying our caravan site for so, so many years together, it was really nice to kind of bring our friends and family from Surrey into that. And I think a lot of people did enjoy it, but it definitely got me talking about and thinking about weddings. Like, I've had a few conversations in the last few days after our anniversary, and it got me thinking about our wedding and can you get like swept up in wedding fever? Because do you remember the night before our wedding, what we did?
What do you mean? What, karaoke party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in the local...
That was the best bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Me singing the rendition from Celine Dion, Titanic, was incredible. I remember singing it and people walking out. That's how bad it was.
But like, honestly, so basically the night before our wedding, I'd spent months planning, we just went to the local pub, the local village pub, and we kind of had the back room, didn't it? They gave us like this back room, and I decided to rent like a karaoke machine, and everyone was up doing karaoke, and a lot of people were actually staying at that pub, weren't they? And I remember I was having such a good time. It was such a good night. And even now, when I think back on our wedding, I don't instantly think the wedding day, and that's so bad. I think the night before.
No, yeah, the night before we were more relaxed. The wedding day for people was, I think that I felt really nervous on the wedding day. So, because I'm quite a nervous type person anyway, so I was nervous. So I just, you can't really enjoy it until all the speeches are done, like the married part of it's done. You could, until like 5-6 o'clock, I couldn't fully relax. Whereas the night before, I felt like I was on fire. It was good.
Yeah, do you know why we always talk about that night before as well? Is because, so for the night before the wedding, we did have Daisy. Like, Daisy was our eldest and she was about 2.5. Yeah, 2.5 when we got married. And I remember the night before, obviously we wanted to enjoy the night before. It was all our friends and family coming to the wedding. But it was a bit like, well, I want Daisy well rested, but who's going to have her?
Your poor mum.
My poor mum. And I don't think my mum will ever let me forget the fact that she had to take Daisy early back home to make sure that Daisy'd had a sleep like the night before the wedding and that she missed out on the karaoke. But
she missed out on a lot. Not the wedding, but she was looking... Who was looking after her on the day?
My family did shifts, didn't they? They did like shifts of who was going to be like in charge of her. But I just wonder, like, I mean, what if people don't have, you know, a family member to take them home and look after? Like, I would have been gutted if I'd... I don't know, what do people do in terms of childcare when it's their own wedding?
Kids, it's hard. Kids and weddings in general don't mix that well, do they? Like, we didn't have kids at our wedding, did we? Apart from our own, and maybe we had really close family.
I mean, it is a touchy subject because, I mean, some people obviously don't have people to look after their children while they go to weddings, or... You know, especially if a wedding is further away, it's like, well, who's going to have my kids? Like, hold on, this is a bit, you know, it's a bit of an ask here to not only, like, you know, trek to Wales for your wedding, but also get my kids looked after. But I remember from our perspective, I remember a kid at our wedding, they wanted to charge, I think it was like £40 or £45 per child to come to our wedding. And at that point, not all of our children had even had kids at that point. Not all of our friends had had kids at that point. I remember adding it up, thinking, all right, well, they've got 2 kids, they've got 3 kids or whatever, and adding it all up. And I think even at the time, it was like 20, 25 children that we would have had to invite to the wedding. And that's a lot of money.
That causes a lot of mayhem. I mean, that would cause a lot of mayhem at the wedding. Everyone's drinking, you've got loads and loads of kids there. It wasn't our type of vibe, was it?
See, I think that's what makes me feel a bit uncomfortable as well, is at weddings, you know, because you get very drunk at weddings. But, you know, it's all day drinking, everyone's really, really drunk, and I don't know. Do I want, like, loads of drunk people coming up to my kids being like, oh, hi, I don't know. Or is there a point where, like, we have taken Daisy to a few weddings in the past, but we've always got her picked up kind of like 6-7 o'clock, haven't we?
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, what do you think? I don't know, what do people think? Kids at weddings, is it like a no-go or a, yeah, let them be, let them just enjoy? But also I think it depends on your type of kid. Mm. Like, our kids, they get tired, they want to go to bed, which naturally leads it into, oh, I'll take them to bed then, and then you get all the fun.
Yeah. I mean, I have 2 quite big regrets from our wedding.
Right.
The photographer wasn't the best, was he? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I do think in a way our wedding, the actual day, did have a lot of things that went wrong. And that photographer, for me, was one of them. I mean, there's not one picture of Daisy walking down the aisle, none of my bridesmaids walking down the aisle, or me, I don't think, because what happened? What did he do? Because obviously I walked down last.
He knocked over like a candle on the table where you, where the ceremony was taking place. He knocked over something and it was just all chaos. And he didn't manage sorting all that out, so he didn't get pictures of
any of the actual
important stuff.
Yeah, I just remember walking down the aisle and there was like this kerfuffle and he's there like trying to get wax off his arm where he got candle wax on him. And I was just a bit like, okay. But what we'd done as well, if you probably wouldn't remember this, but just before the ceremony...
I was drunk by then.
Probably. He came in to see me, like, in when you're getting ready, and he said to me, oh, it's much better for your pictures if you tell everyone during the ceremony not to get their mobile phones out and be taking pictures and stuff, because otherwise...
That'd be better photographers.
I know. So then he's saying to me, don't let anyone take any pictures of anyone walking down the aisle. So they'd done this announcement before I'd walked in saying, oh, if everyone can just, you know, leave their mobile phones in their pockets. The bride and groom have asked that, you know, you just leave the photography to the professionals. Fucking professionals too busy covering himself in candle wax. There's no photos. I couldn't exactly fake walking down the aisle again.
No.
Oh, I'm not over it. I think you
maybe
tell.
For your next marriage.
Shut up! Don't say that.
Oh. I'm only joking. But no, the biggest. I think the biggest regret for me was not getting a wedding video because. Yeah, I think I would rewatch that.
Yeah, it would have been fun to have, wouldn't it? Because the day goes so quickly. But I remember at the time looking at the price for a videographer and I was just like,
it is Trumpy, but I think we would have saved money.
Trumpy,
yeah.
Is that a saying?
Yeah.
All right, okay, carry on, sorry. Okay.
Yeah. But we'd have saved elsewhere to maybe cover that in because that is I know people who are married that have got wedding videos and they say it's like one of the best things they've done. They watch it back.
Yeah.
Whereas I think I would like that. So if you're not married yet, that should be...
I'd recommend getting that as well. But something that I didn't budget for, which I will never understand. Maybe I'm just not that kind of girl. I'm not like the aesthetic girl. I don't know. But I remember people asking me in the lead up to our wedding about like flowers and stuff. And I thought, I haven't got any flowers. And I remember a few weeks before the wedding, I had to go to a florist and ask for, like, you know, like the buttonholes and the bouquet. And they are the only... I think it came to about £150 for my bouquet and all the men's, the little flowers they have in their buttonholes. And that's all the flowers we had. That was my budget.
You're not flower mad. Like, I buy you some flowers at home and they just die early doors.
I'd always rather have, instead of flowers, I think I'd always rather have like a candle or a diffuser because they last longer. Like if you spent £30 on a bouquet of flowers for me, I'm not going to lie. I just see it as a bit of a waste of money. Like they're going to literally die within like a few days. Get me a candle. Oh, even better, forget the candles and the flowers, the traditional presents. Buy me a mascara or a lip gloss. I always want a mascara or a lip gloss, but it's the kind of thing that I just... leave until I'm like scraping it right out the bottom of the barrel. So there we go. Instead of buying flowers for your partner, go for a mascara or lip gloss. I feel like that's the vibe.
One bit of success from our wedding, I think, was the drinks vouchers we did. That was a good idea, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So yeah, in the lead up to the wedding, obviously we were like trying to budget and trying to work out what we could afford and what was of value to us. And something really important for me, knowing that people were travelling to our wedding and knowing that, you know, because it is an inconvenience to spend money on accommodation and petrol and, you know, outfits, presents. Like
massively. With weddings, and we'll get into stag do's and hen do's in a bit, but with that stuff, a lot of people feel pressured to do it because they can't say... They feel like they can't say no, especially if they're a close family or friend. They might not be able to afford it, but they can't say no. They feel like they can't say no. But it's a massive inconvenience.
It was just something for our wedding I was very conscious about. So, you know, I did give people the option. I contacted all of the caravan owners on our caravan site for accommodation. And actually, a lot of them were willing back then. Some of them rented caravans for £50 a night and some of them are three-bedroom caravans. So, you know, people did have the offer of here's really cheap accommodation. You know, a lot of our friends still went for the...
Some people were like, I'm staying in a caravan. Yeah, but they're nice. They're nice caravans. They've got central heating, they're beautiful, but no.
Yeah, some people will be like, no, we'll just stick to the B&B. But for me, I felt better knowing, inviting people to our wedding, knowing that there were some really cheap options as well. And I was quite helpful with the accommodation. And again, that brings me to your original point of how we wanted to save money at the wedding for the guests. So we wanted to give something back because they travelled so fast. The first thing I did was I put on the transport because it's like a rural Welsh village. You're not going to get like an Uber or taxis, were you? So I put on like buses and transport for everybody, like to and from the caravan site and the local B&B or whatever, and I ferried them to and from. But one of the debates me and Dean were having was about free bar. Do you remember?
Yeah. Free bar, generally people really, really take the piss because they can just go up to the bar, they might half drink it and go, oh, left my drink in the toilet or left it on a table over there after chatting to someone. Then they'll just go back up to the bar and they'll buy more. And people don't respect that. So you can rack up some serious bills. And people just, I didn't want to go down that route as much as I wanted to give back.
So I remember going to a wedding in the lead up to our wedding that had a free bar. And I remember going to the bathroom and I remember, you know, like in the ladies' toilets, they're all doing their lippy or they're like fat, you know, fiddling around with their hair or whatever in the mirror. I remember going out of the toilet, going to put my lip gloss on, and there were just like half empty, sometimes almost like three quarters full.
I mean, we've done
drinks.
It. If we went to a free...
There was drinks all around the mirror. Well,
If we went to someone with a free bar and we're pissed up, we're doing the same thing. You're not focused on it.
Yeah, you wouldn't be, but I don't think I would.
Oh, Mrs. Sensible.
I am Mrs. Sensible. I mean, by the time it gets to the evening in the wedding anyway, I'm a bit like, oh God, I'm done with drinking now, but...
It's Mother Teresa sitting over there.
I know. I like to be hydrated before I go to bed.
So we did drinks vouchers. So what we did, was it three or five?
It was two.
Was it? Oh, most often.
Well, no, some people got more. Like the wedding party got loads.
Yeah, no, I think it was free. But what happened was, so we gave everyone drinks vouchers at their table as part of their like favour, wasn't it? And they said free drinks. And then what was happening is, if people that weren't drinking at the wedding, they were often just giving their vouchers to people that were getting more drunk. So it worked out quite well. While I was walking around the tables, there's loads of vouchers left.
Yeah. I just think it was a really good thing to do. And I remember, you know, giving them to people who'd really helped me out with the wedding, and that was my way of giving back without people going up to the bar and being like, oh, who wants a Jager bomb? Right, 10 Jager bombs. And then you think, oh God.
You look at the bill after.
But I liked giving back because for me, we provided all the drinks, you know, in the reception once you got married, provided all of that. Then we provided all the drinks on the tables. And then for the evening, still even having two or more three drinks, I would be well on my way by then.
Yeah.
I wouldn't need much more than that.
No.
You would?
No.
But I think, that was something we did to save money as well. But again, like, I do think with the wedding day, it's very full of pressure. Like, even now, talking about the things that we've thought about in the lead up to that wedding, a lot of thought does go into a wedding. And I just think, maybe that's why we did enjoy the night before, because the pressure was off and it wasn't on it.
If someone said to you now, you just have the night before, and someone will come there and marry you during that karaoke night, and you could just crack on and have fun there, and you wouldn't have the pressure of the wedding, the expense of the wedding, and everything that goes with that. What would you do that?
Oh, I mean, this is really pathetic, but I was that little girl that always dreamed of wearing the dress.
Yeah, no, it's just different. I think it's just different for women. They just, they imagine that. And
yeah, but you know what, though? Even my dress... My dress was bought in a sale. My dress was bought. I went to a wedding fair specifically because I knew if you went to this wedding fair, you got a further like 10% or whatever it was off your dress as well. My dress was not an expensive dress, okay? Like, in terms of what I know my friends have spent on dresses, what other people have spent on dresses, my dress was not an expensive dress, okay? It was really cheap.
It wasn't expensive, everybody.
It was.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't, yeah. But I do remember picking up... This is our wedding was doomed from the start. I remember picking the dress up a couple of days before we were driving to Wales for the wedding. And for some reason, my mum was just like, try it on. And I was a bit like, oh, no, I can't be bothered. It was fine. I tried it on, like, in the fitting, like, whatever. And they were like, no, try it on. I tried it on, and there was a great big hole in the back. You know, like, when it like comes down at the back and then it went into a train, there was a hole. Like whoever steamed it had steamed a hole like through all the material. So I blessed this woman. I rung her up from her wedding dress shop and I was like, oh, there's a hole in my dress? And she basically didn't believe me. And she was like, oh, send me a picture. They can't be. And I sent her a picture. Oh, my God. She rang me straight back. She sent a taxi to come and pick up the dress. They went and fixed it. And then the next day sent another taxi to come and drop it back off to me. She was in a panic. But then I everyone else was kind of like in a panic too. And I was like, oh, well, like I'll wear it if I have to. It's only a hole in a dress, isn't it?
So the wedding started quite badly with that, but it also ended quite badly, didn't it, on the night?
Oh, Dean. So, so our wedding, we did get very tipsy, which as well is a regret of mine, getting as tipsy as we both did. But the night ended, shall we say,
Well, everyone celebrates their wedding night, don't they?
They do.
In that kind of manner, yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. So during the, this is cringe. During the consummation of our marriage, there was a little bit of a drunken slip, shall we say. And I forgot it actually happened. But then the next morning, I was trying to take my makeup off. Because obviously I hadn't done it the night before. So I was trying to take all this wedding makeup off with all my wipes. And I remember going on one of my eyes and I was like, oh, God, his makeup's not coming off. And I was thinking, oh, that hurts. I had a black eye.
It was a proper shiner. And do you know the worst thing about it was? The worst thing. We came out and my boss had travelled, didn't he, to come and see us at the wedding.
The first person we bump into.
Because he was staying at the same hotel as us. And the first person we bump into is my boss. And how do you kind of explain that? There's only two ways. Like, she either thinks, I've hit her, which I obviously didn't. Or we got a bit frisky and she hit her eye against the backboard.
The headboard.
Both explanations don't go well.
The thing is, he'd been so quick and we were just trying to get down to breakfast to like see everybody. And then I literally bump into him like outside. And I hadn't had time to process it or think about it or do anything. So I just kind of blurted out the truth, which was just really cringe, like to your boss. And I was like, oh, God. Yeah. And then telling my dad was interesting as well. And I think I lied to my grandparents about how I got it. I think they're the only people I lied to about how I got the black eye. I can't remember what. Maybe on the dance floor or something like that I said it. Yeah. But like afterwards, because I was still probably a bit drunk in the morning, I started thinking of all these things. Oh, we should have said that. We could have said that. But it was just out there. So, hungover bride with a black eye was not my best look. Cheers for that.
But overall, our wedding was a major success, wasn't it? I mean...
It was. I think everyone had a really good time and I would love to get everyone back to Wales at some point, you know, maybe for like your 40th or our 10th year or something like that. It was really lovely.
But it all is a bit...
Surely everyone has a disaster story from their wedding. I just don't believe that everybody's weddings go all plain sailing smoothing, like the whole day. I just don't believe it. Like everyone must have dramas at their wedding, whether it be like family drama or something goes wrong on the day or, you know, I just think.
And it isn't just weddings, is it? There's that massive lead up with hen do, stag do,
yeah,
all that. There's
it a lot... has got a little bit crazy in recent years, hasn't it? Like you've been on a fair few amazing stag do's.
Yeah, I know. And to be honest, I'm way too old for them now. I can't cope. I mean, the last one I went to was my best mate's stag do last year. And I think that's the last time I'm ever going on a 3-day bender. I just can't cope. I just can't do it anymore. I'm out for weeks afterwards. I enjoy it when I'm there. Don't get me wrong. But the aftermath of going on stag do's is a thing of the past for me now.
Or just take it easy on the stag do and then
on a stag do takes it easy. We were going on first night, we'll just have a nice meal, just take it nice and steady. You get on that plane, 10 of you or whatever, and you're so buzzing to get out there, you're just absolutely smashing it. Then first night, second night, you smash it, and the third night, we were like, oh, just get me out of here.
Where did you go? I've just got like a real memory of being at home in bed when you were on a stag do and getting a phone call off this weird number. and it was you, and you were really. Can I?
Oh, that was in Bulgaria.
I can't quite remember the exact drama, but I remember you ringing me, and I hope you don't mind me saying, but he was crying, right?
Yeah, I got stuck, I got lost in a fucking strip bar.
I was like, what do you want me to do? Like, what happened?
Just having a dance or whatever, like as you're doing a strip bar.
Nice. And then
just watching and whatever, and then everyone left me in there, and then I'm stuck in Bulgaria, pissed up, didn't know where I was, and I just got to like the front kiosk bit, and I'm lying down. I'm like, I had no battery, I don't think.
Okay.
And I managed to just get a cab back to the hotel, and that's when I called
you. How did you ring me though?
I called you from the hotel when I got back. Yeah, I was a complete mess. Yeah.
What a liability.
A lot of people listening to this be like, oh, how can she let him go strip bars? She doesn't. Like, it's just like the
I don't care what you do.
You do.
I don't mind you going and getting a stripper.
No. It's a dumb thing. It's a dumb thing on a stag doing
it. Exactly. Just look, but you can't touch.
Yeah, it's a dumb thing.
Exactly. They wouldn't like it if you touched them anyway. But I remember going on a hen do once as well. And it was really far away. It was in LA and Vegas. And I think I was really excited. You know, I was trying to plan my outfits beforehand. And we were planning loads of exciting games and where we were going to go and what we were going to do. But, like, for me at that time, I remember I'd just gone back to work full-time with Daisy and I wasn't in a good place like myself. And then I remember the week before we went, I got diagnosed with glandular fever and I just felt exhausted all the time. And then a few days before we flew, I had a sickness bug. And, you know, like, I was trying to push through, but I was also really nervous about leaving Daisy because I think only one or two of the girls going on this hen at the time had children. But I remember being really, like, nervous about leaving Daisy. I think she was being looked after by, like, you, your parents and my mum and dad as well, like, all in a, you know, just trying to make it work so that you could still work while I was gone. And I remember on, like, the second night, we were away for 8 days and it was really far. It was, like, LA and Vegas. It wasn't like I was 2 hours away, you know, in Spain or something. I felt really far away from my family. And then on the second night in this club in LA, my phone gets stolen. Mm. And honestly, I'm not being dramatic and I know it's only a phone, like, da-da-da, but it wasn't...
It's never only a phone. Good, your whole life's on there now.
Yeah, that as well. But it wasn't just the fact my phone had been stolen. It was the fact that... I wasn't feeling 100%. I was away from home and my phone then got stolen. I lost that connection with you and Daisy and my mum, you know, and the girls were great. You know, if I said, oh, can I ring Dean on your phone or whatever, they'd let me and stuff. But, you know, it's those, you know, you're like lying in bed at night and the time difference as well was a nightmare. And I just felt really, really like far away and I missed my family and I didn't even have that little message here or there or be able to ring or FaceTime or anything.
It was fine, babe. It was a breeze in the park having the kids on my own.
Well, one kid back then, with a lot of help.
Yeah.
You probably can't even remember doing it, can you?
Not at all, no.
No?
No.
Oh, but no, I mean, yeah. I think anyone now who has a hen or a stag do, I do think they are, I think it's the norm really. I don't know,
this is where social media has completely distorted it and warped it because everyone's massively. Like I wouldn't say people are having competitions to go on the best stag do or the hen do, but people are comparing it. So if you see someone else go to Ibiza or whatever for a 4-day stag do, that then becomes the norm. And then you get like this effect where people are always up in the next one, then the next thing becomes a norm. Whereas back in the day, like, just going one night down the pub was enough.
Well,
now you've got to do $5,000 in Vegas and you or wherever, or Marlboro, or wherever you go. And obviously, if the person's extremely close to you, then there's no way you can really get out of it. And I'm not saying you want to get out of it, but sometimes monetary-wise, it doesn't allow.
No.
Sometimes you're making yourself skint to go.
I'm at the point in my life where, you know, I'm a part-time primary school teacher. They don't get paid enough, just putting it out there. Anyway, and I'm at the point where if I have to make a decision between, like, buying my kid a bike for Christmas or going on somebody's abroad hen do, I'm... You know, it's not the fact that I don't necessarily have the money, but I'll choose to spend my money on something else.
But we've done the hen do and stag do life. Like, we haven't really got any, unless people get divorced and remarried, we're not going to have many weddings to go to now. Not like, are we? We're out of that kind of period.
Oh, I do hope so, that people, you know, a few more people get married though, because I do love a good wedding.
Oh, I love a wedding. I don't. Your wedding's great, but then all that comes with it can be expensive.
Yeah. But I mean, I remember my hen do. I requested and I asked for, I wanted a night out, a local night out. And for anyone listening who has been to Inferno's in Clapham... I loved it. Like a nice cheesy hen do. We went to Clapham and it was exactly what I wanted. I just wanted a night out, like have a dance, have some fun. We played a few games in like a bar before. Loved it. I thought it was brilliant. I really, really had such a great night. And I look back on that night, it was such fond memories. It was such a good night. I didn't need the whole... And also, we were asking people to come to Wales for our wedding. So I already thought in my head, I'm not asking you to like... you know, bugger off to Spain or anything now as well. And
no, you're very
thoughtful like
yeah,
that.
You're very conscious of that sort of stuff. Yeah, where some people are like, I'm getting married over here. I'm going on all this extravagant stuff, and you know, yeah.
You got to keep also keeping up with the Kardashians.
Yeah,
they're not quite Kardashians though. But yeah,
as we are recording this, we are coming to the end of the Easter holidays in England. I know Wales went. Back a bit sooner than us. Hooray, nearly back at work for a little break. So I asked our Instagram followers the problems they've encountered during the Easter holidays, and we're going to go through a few of them and sort of give our own spin and discuss them. So we've got one here: foul weather, two small kids, one tiny beach lodge. Now I need a holiday from the holiday.
Couldn't agree more.
You said that to me the other day.
I need a holiday from this holiday. And I know there might be people out there thinking, oh, don't be so ungrateful. Like, I'm not being ungrateful, okay? But for me, we are in a little caravan, and it is a little caravan in Wales,
the
right?
The smallest one on the whole site, by
it
the
is,
way.
It is small. I mean, I'm not being ungrateful. We're lucky enough that we have a caravan. We have a space to go, and I get that. However, the weather has been so incredibly bad. You know, the kids get muddy. I can't just chuck it in the washing machine. I've got to go down the laundry, and then I've got to, like, pay a stupid price for the laundry, and then I've got to lug it all back to the caravan, try and dry it in the caravan, because I don't want to put everything in the tumble dryer, because it will shrink. Like, there are parents, mums generally out there, that will resonate this with me. You know, I've got to clean up the whole time. I've got to make the beds. Ruby wet the bloody bed the other night in a caravan, and I had to deal with that in the laundry and dry it. And, oh, I just...
Last night, we had, an incident as well, one of them waking up. Didn't we?
Oh, yeah, they wake up in the night. Like, I just feel like, for me, and I know we've talked about this before, but a holiday, and lots of people messaged me actually after the last podcast saying, like, yeah, you need an all-inclusive. You need someone making your bed. You need somewhere where you can just go and all the food's cooked for you. Like, I'm a bloody chef. I'm making different meals every day. Do you know what I mean? In a caravan.
And also, these caravan holidays are very weather-dependent. Like, the weather the last 2 weeks has been so shit. First few days, you can kind of cope with it, but then it starts getting to the point where the kids can't really just go and play.
I wonder, so you know those people that you just said have sent you that message and they stayed in a lodge and we've just obviously stayed in a caravan.
They said tiny lodge.
Tiny lodge. I wonder if people coming back from all-inclusives are also saying, oh, I need a holiday from the holiday.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I wish I was back there more like.
Yeah.
Whereas we're like, glad it's finished. Can't get back, wait to get back to work. And I've been working from the caravan the last 2 weeks. People message me saying, how much get so much time off? And I'm like, I haven't had time off. I've been working in the caravan, which leads on to the next problem. Mum has time off with the kids, dad work from home, having to keep quiet. And this has been a problem.
Well, that's what someone sent you.
Yeah, that's a message someone sent. And that's kind of a problem we've had, especially as the weather's been so bad. The kids have been in the caravan. I'm like, look.
I'm really good at taking them out. I will, as long as it's not absolutely teeming down with rain, I've taken them out in their wellies, in their all-in-ones. We go on these big long walks, like Ruby, bless her. So she's 5 now. She's done incredibly well. Like one of the days we did a 9K walk. Like I am getting them out of your hair as much as I can. And
the other day when it was raining, you took them Ninja Warrior. I think you took them food shopping.
I went McDonald's.
I put it on my Instagram. And to be honest, I was sitting there and it was like blissful silence. And I was working and it was kind of quite enjoyable in a way. And I'm thinking to myself, she ain't having an enjoyable afternoon. Raining. Kids were absolutely on one that morning as well. And I was like, they're not going to be easy today.
Do you know what? It actually was all right. Ninja Warrior is fine. Like, they were busy. They're enjoying themselves. I don't mind that. McDonald's was fine. Like, they had their food and they got some Uno cards or something from McDonald's. They were fine. The most stressful thing I have to do with the children when we're here and you're working is take them food shopping. Like, honestly, you'd think that, you know, Daisy being 10 this year wouldn't be a pain in the ass in the food shop. Oh, nah, she is. Like, honestly, can I have this? Can I have that? And then we went to Morrison's and they had, like, these little mini trolleys for kids. So I just let them have these mini trolleys. Again, big mistake.
Just stacked it up with crap.
They did stack it up. I mean, they were quite good. If I said no, they put it back. But I just was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
I think that's the most draining thing about taking kids' supermarkets down every aisle, especially when they're like Ruby's age, just like, can I have this? And they just pick stuff off the thing and you have to make a reason why they can't have it every
time. I don't give them a reason. I just say no.
Yeah, no, but then, yeah.
God, you're soft. Oh, no, you can't have that because Daddy says no. Just say no. No, can't have that.
Yeah. Well, the Easter holidays is nearly over, but I've just been told by my wife that they're off Monday as well, aren't they?
Yeah, there's an inset day on Monday. Of course there is.
So,
because you should know that. If you were on the WhatsApp groups actively or if you were on the school correspondence, mental load.
So then you'd
have it.
So that leads on to the next problem, realising my son is still off Monday and needs to sort out last-minute childcare. And I read that one yesterday and I thought, oh God, that's a bit of a nightmare. And then we're on the one, I read out the question on the way to recording this and you were like, you know, the kids are off Monday. And I was like, what? No, I'm going back to the office Monday. So we're going to have to find some childcare, aren't we?
You know I work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So why is it my problem? You take the mental load on that one.
We are going to have to.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it to you, babe. You can find a babysitter. Sarah's nanny.
Karen gets a mention again, Sarah's mum.
Oh, we love you, Karen. There is one little topic that I just wanted to tag on this podcast today because I find it really interesting what people think on this. And I suppose we can share our views on this and not everybody is going to agree. And that's fine.
That's the point of debate.
That is the point of a debate. But there's just, I don't know, there's something I really want to tackle. And I suppose maybe because I'm a teacher, I have a different view on it. But Daisy came home the other day from the park at the caravan site and she wasn't upset, but she was a bit taken aback because at the caravan site, it's a very safe caravan site, and they go round in like a little gang of them, like the kids, whatever. And they'd been up the park and they basically... Daisy's really good at sports and activities and gymnastics. She's really good. And there's like one of those giant swings. You know, like the big circular swings. Oh, it makes sense here. But they're big and they're circular and the kids stand on it and you can get a few kids on it. But you're supposed to sit on it and then push them, whatever. But Daisy likes to stand on it and rock it and
go
really high.
She does go mad on that thing.
Yeah, she does. But sometimes like, if I'm up the park with her, I'm the one pushing her even higher on it. Like, you know, risk and whatever. Don't care. They should take risks. Anyway. She's doing what she normally does on this thing. And there's a guy in there and he's decided he doesn't think what she's doing is safe. So, but Daisy knows her limits on there. And normally, like I said, I'm pushing her on it and she knows that I don't care. Anyway, he's told her off, but he's got quite like cross with her when he's told her off. And I don't know, she came back and it got me thinking, I don't think I would tell somebody else's children off. Like, I don't know, would you?
No, I wouldn't. No. I remember when remember that kid hit Daisy a couple of years ago at the caravan site? And I know they're only kids and stuff and that thing happens, but I was really, really quite angry. Left like a print on the back of her.
A handprint, wasn't it?
On her back. And even then, I was reluctant to go up to the kid directly and tell him off just because... I think it's probably better to go maybe to the parent. Like you went, did you speak to the parent or not?
No, I didn't. I think Daisy's got some older cousins at the caravan site and I know they did. I actually wasn't there. So Dean basically rang me. I was in the car on the way back from a food shop and he said, oh my God, look, Daisy's been hit. And she was really upset, wasn't she? She was incredibly upset. She'd been hit by this boy and he was older than her, a few years older, in fact. And he'd slapped her on the back and left a handprint on her back. And it was still even there. The handprint was there by the time I got back from the food shop. He really whacked her. And I know that the kids had dealt with it between themselves. And I know that, you know, they'd kind of said this is not okay. And then Daisy'd come back to us. And he knew that we knew. And I did see him, but it wasn't till a few days later. And by this point, they were all playing together again. So why would I tell him off? But I did just gently kind of say, oh, like, oh, you know, you hit Daisy the other day. I was like, that really wasn't acceptable. And, you know, if we hear of anything like that again, I will be speaking to your mum. And I was just kind of like, I'm around other people's children all day, every day at school. And it's just not in my nature to shout at other people's children. I believe there's another way I could deal with it first. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. If my children need to be shouted at and there's a time and a place for it, or, you know, or maybe I've lost my temper, then it will happen. But
I think for me, they'd have to do something pretty extreme for me to tell another person's kid off. Yeah, they might inwardly annoy the shit out of me.
But I've had people tell my kids off in front of me. And I'm always a bit like, all right, I can deal with it. Like, if I think there's a problem, I can say it. You don't need to parent for me. And it's kind of like if someone else tells your kids off in front of you.
Oh, my God, no. I literally, no. That sends another level of anger through me.
But, you know, like, sometimes...
Like, when Daisy came back the other day and was like, this man told me off, I felt like saying, where is he? Because what's it got to do with him? She was not doing anything wrong. She was just swinging on a swing. What's it got to do with you, mate? Like, just... pipe down, sort your own kids out, like, yeah.
I don't know, maybe it was how he said it. Like, Daisy interpreted him as he was quite aggressive. He was quite, like, shouty at her. So that's why she was a bit kind of taken aback. But, you know, if it was in the context of he genuinely was trying to do it for her safety, like, even if I saw some kids doing something dangerous at the park, I'd be like, oh, make sure you're careful, or...
There's definitely a way of saying it. Like, if I thought some kid was in danger or endangering themselves somehow, I might go up and go, look, that's probably not the best idea to do that because you might hurt yourself. But if you aggressively shout and start, stop, then that's completely different, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose maybe there's two things then going on here. So there's two arguments. There's... how would you feel if somebody told your kid off in front of you, even if they were doing something wrong and you think, oh, I was just about to say that, but I think it's how... And then there's the argument of just telling people kids off when the parents are around.
Yeah, no, and it's... Because I want my kids to be told off at school. I'm not one of these parents that would go up to school and go, you told my kid off for this or whatever. I want my kids to be disciplined.
Oh, absolutely.
100% when I'm not there, because... that's just what I want. So I'm definitely not that. But if, say, another parent just aggressively tells my kid off for something pretty minor, then I'm not okay with that. And because I wouldn't do that personally.
But we're lucky, because I don't believe the teachers at the girls' school will tell them off aggressively. No. I don't believe that is their nature, their ethos of the school isn't to tell children off aggressively. And I think you can tell children off without being aggressive. Like, even if a child came around our house and I don't like the behaviour they're exhibiting, or maybe they're not being very kind, or maybe they've been physical to one of the kids.
I think there is a time and a place for raising your voice, though.
Yeah, there is, but not other people's kids.
No.
Like, I will just very calmly say, if I don't like the way child's behaving at our house, but, oh, actually, do you know what? In our house, we use gentle hands. Or do you know what? In our house, we're actually kind to one another. So could you please not speak to her like that? You know, otherwise I might have to ring your mum. Or, you know,
just at our house, especially with our own kids, I've got a bit of a limit with the nice asking, because sometimes it doesn't work.
No, I know that.
Like, I've done lots of jokes on my page about, like, telling my kids off nicely like 6 to 8 times and they still don't do it, and then I raise my voice and miraculously they stop doing it. So I think there is a time and a place for that kind of discipline. I know me and you are sort of aligned on that, but not
sort of aligned, not quite. Sometimes you are a bit like, all right, Dean, calm down.
Yeah, but also as well, like, we're not robots. So, no. Like, sometimes, okay, and sometimes I often do feel guilty. Like, I don't shout at my kids a lot, but if I did and it wasn't really justified, it was more like the day I was having was bad, then I'd feel terribly guilty. But if I raise my voice after I've told them 6 to 8 times to do it and they haven't done it, I do not feel an ounce of guilt there. But if I feel like they don't deserve it, it's just me being moody, which sometimes parents can be, we're not robots, then I do feel guilty. And I will say sorry. If I feel it's unjustified, I will say sorry.
Yeah.
if I don't think it's, I won't say sorry if I don't. Like sometimes I have gone mad and I feel like that is justified with how badly they're being and how badly they're not listening.
But I just think maybe it's that I've definitely, there's an age gap between our kids, right? So I was 26 or 27 when we had our first. And I did go down the route of like when she was a toddler and she was doing something, I'd go, no, Daisy, no. And I'd go down like that and I was like, stop, no. And I'd raise my voice and I'd be like that. So, yeah. But what I learned from that after a while, from my having my first and also training that I've had as a teacher at school and you know, ways in which to do it, I then heard Daisy speaking to friends or younger children doing this, no, stop it, because that's her learnt behaviour. She's learnt that from me. And I remember thinking, oh my God, she sounds like me when talking to friends. And I was like, oh no, I can't have this. So I did a different tack with Ruby, which was more of a...
Now she just loses the plot.
No, I'd say more like... No, Ruby's got a lot more empathy and patience than Daisy ever had. I don't know. I think going down more of a... Not gentle parent. I suppose it is a gentler parenting route with Ruby, but I've created in Ruby a much more empathetic, calm child than I did with Daisy with more of the no. I don't know.
But maybe also there's just different personalities at play as well there. You can't give yourself all the flack or the credit for how your kids turn out. I think there's a big chunk of it that we do, but also some of it is just their personality and what they like. Me and you aren't particular. Are we calm?
No.
Like I see some kids who are really calm, and their parents are really calm.
It's that nature versus nurture debate.
Because obviously they're in an environment. I'm not saying that we're absolutely mental, but we're quite passionate, strong personality people. And for our kids to be like that, of course, because.
I wonder if there's anybody out there who's got like friends or maybe even your own who has two or one really calm parents and then the kids just not, or the other way around. Maybe you've got two really extroverted parents and then you've got a really calm child. Like, is it nature versus nurture or are you just born?
Or maybe it's just our small experience. I'm going from a very small pot of people I know. You know, I'm not going from data there, what I've said there. But, yeah, that'd be interesting to know.
Mm. I find it just really interesting. So different people will obviously have different opinions on, you know, how to discipline kids, different personalities of children. Like, you know, for example, sometimes Daisy does need a clearer instruction of what I need her to do, whereas Ruby would be more, if I used a stern voice with Ruby, she'd probably cry. So I think... It's very, very different, and all parents parent differently. And I don't know necessarily if there is a right or a wrong answer.
We've had this discussion before, but it's all very interesting. If you do have lots of opinions or thoughts on that, do not be scared to DM us on Instagram. We really, really want to hear what you like, what you don't like.
Would you tell off somebody else's kid?
Yeah, let us know what you think. So that is it from us today. Once again, thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. Also, thank you for those who have left reviews and reached out to message us. It's great to hear what all you guys think. We hope you have a good few weeks and we look forward to recording episode 5.
And you let us know if there are any particular topics you would be interested in hearing us discuss. Just don't mention the mental load because I will win that one. And I do feel like it's going to be a very heated debate when we eventually tackle that topic, and I will win.
So again, thank you for listening.
Thank you. Have a good week.